So it was suggested that I would speak on a topic, and the topic then that we discussed would become sadachar, or also translated as Vaishnav etiquette. So therefore I want to discuss some pastime of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that we all know well. We may remember how Sanatan Goswami was called by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to meet him, and at Sanatan Goswami it was just in the hot season in Jagannath Puri. And Sanatan Goswami was eager to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he had been called, without delay. Being in the renounced order of life, the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were very strict. And because of being in the renounced order of life, they were not wearing any shoes. It was not practiced that a sannyasi or any renunciant would ever wear shoes. So therefore, they would go bare feet. So, of course, that was in India a great austerity, because sometimes it was getting very hot. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he called Sanatan Goswami, was situated at some distance, and Sanatan Goswami was in a hurry. So he decided to take the path along the beach, rather than going over the public road, which was going in front of the Simhadwara, or the Jagannath Mandir. He was going over the beach because he was thinking that I'm very fallen. I, after all, have served the Muslim ruler. How can that ever be forgotten? So therefore, considering that, he was thinking if the pujaris that are also walking on this road, if they somehow or other touch my body, they'll be contaminated and it will be a great offense to Lord Jagannath. Therefore, let me avoid walking on this road where the pujaris are walking. Rather, I'll walk on the beach. So he walked over the beach, but the sand on the beach was getting much hotter than the dirt on the road, because it's white sand, and white sand heats up much more. So the nature of that sand was so hot at that time at noon that you couldn't walk on it. No way, so hot. But Sanatan Goswami walked on it anyway, and was very eager to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see him and accepted his obeisances, embraced him and said, "How nice you have come." And then he said, "How did you come?" He said, and then Sanatan said, "I came by the beach." He said, "By the beach? How could you have come by the beach? Didn't you burn your feet?" "No. No, no problems." But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at Sanatan's feet and they were all burned with blisters on him. But he had not felt anything. Mm-hmm. But then after that pastime, he spoke the following verse, which I will read now. Yajapyutumiha jagat pavana tomasparse pavitrahaye devamunigana tatapi bhakta swabhava maryada rakshana maryada palana haya sadura bhushana. My dear Sanatan, although you are the deliverer of the entire universe, and although even the demigods and saints are purified by touching you, it is the characteristic of a devotee to observe and protect the Vaishnav etiquette. Maintenance of the Vaishnav etiquette is the ornament of a devotee. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila 4, text 129 and 130. So we see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Maryada Palana, Maryada Palana Saddura Bhushana. That is the ornament of the Vaishnava. And that it is a very important principle. So the principle of Vaishnav etiquette is based on the mood of Trinata Pisu Nichena, Taroda Pisu Hishnana, Amanina Mananidna, Kirtaniya Sadahari. To consider oneself very low and fallen, and in the mood to be offering respect to all others. So that is the basic principle of all Vaishnav behavior. There's a great difference between Vaishnava behavior, or sada achar, and the behavior of an ordinary person. Especially these day and age, it is fashionable that everyone must be considered equal. Socially, if we are not considering equal, then you're discriminating. And you're discriminating people. And so you're not supposed to do that. Everyone is to be treated equal in this world. And it is felt that the root cause of all evils is this mood where one man thinks he's superior to another. And that this has been the cause of so much oppression and racial hate and problems. And it is advocated that we have to overcome this, and that the higher platform would be to see everyone equal. In the same way, psychologists have this concept that I'm okay, you're okay, everybody is okay, and therefore everybody is equal. We should approach each other on an equal platform, not considering any differences or anything like that. But this is artificial. Of course, there is equality. There is equality on the spiritual platform. Prabhupada said that fraternité et égalité, or brotherhood and equality, that true brotherhood and equality is only possible on the spiritual platform, if we relate to each other like spirit souls. But then again, that is also artificial. That is also artificial, because as spirit souls, each spirit soul is also a distinct individual, is also distinctly different. And his relationship with Krishna is also of an individual nature and is also distinctly different. So every living entity has its own unique relationship with Krishna. And one living entity is closer to Krishna than another living entity. So in that way, amongst the Vaishnavas, it is customary to not treat all the Vaishnavas equal, but to accept some as superiors, some as one's peers, who are kind of at the same level of advancement, and some as inferior or less experienced. So these three categories are there within the Vaishnav community. And within our entire Sampradaya, it is therefore customary amongst the Vaishnavas to respect each other. We see that in the spiritual world, those who are junior are respecting their seniors by offering artik. They offer artik to them. That is the practice of the spiritual world. They actually wash their feet, they offer arti, and this is a very traditional system. We saw in Mayapur when the boat, the Nitaipada Kamalam, with the first boat with the deities of Gornitai on them, that was sent out with the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, when that boat was going to the Bengali villages, and when the devotees used to come ashore and go to villages where generally people would never get any visitors because they were a little isolated. In these villages, when they were received, the people immediately, when they saw the devotees coming, would run in their house, bring out the artik trays, and start offer artik to the people to receive them. Some of us who last year went to India with a group journey may also remember how we went to the house of Vishnu Priya, the wife of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and how the pujari also came out, right, after he closed the curtain of the deities, and then he came out and brought an artik tray and offered arti to us. You may remember. Right? So this is culture. This is actually Vaishnava culture. So we should not think that it is inappropriate to worship. Of course, with this contamination that we have from from centuries of mundane history, we've lost all faith in authority, in spiritual authority. After all, many revolutions have been there in the world. The French Revolution, we have pulled down Louis XIV or XVI, was it? Which one was it? 16th, excuse me. We have had other ones all over the world where we see that at one stage the people felt that the worship that was taken by their leaders was inappropriate. Still, Prabhupada describes, he said that actually it is correct that you have a king and that that king is given all facility and all opulence. Not like in a democracy. He said in a democracy you have 300,000 kings who are living in opulence like that. Instead of having one, you have 300,000 who are all living in opulence. He says that's your democracy for you. Okay? Better you have monarchy than you have only one. Something to say for it. But our mood has become one of no faith. Our history is one of no faith. So because of no faith, we are also afraid to offer respect. Yeah, what can I do? Het spijt me dat er zijn te veel mensen die alleen Engels spreken. Oké, tot morgen. Yeah, they don't understand English. What can you do? So there are I lost where I was, but it doesn't matter so much. Anyhow, we are desiring to become pure, and in the process of purifying ourselves, we have to develop faith. We have to see the good qualities in the Vaishnavas. Mm. One of our problems is that when we see good qualities in Vaishnavas, that we appreciate them. But then when we see one fault, that we forget all the purity and that we just think that, oh, he's not so pure. He's just mundane after all. It was all false. And we tend to think that if we see a lot of spiritual behavior in someone and then we see something, some mundane weakness in the same person, then we tend to think that, oh, this proves that that person is actually a pretender. But this is incorrect understanding. We should just understand that maybe there are still some impurities within this person, but there's also a lot of purity in him. Therefore, it is not so that only the topmost Mahabhagavats are worshipable. Actually, all Vaishnavas are worshipable. Mm. All Vaishnavas are very, very elevated. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying these things in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I made some notes here. He's saying that one should never consider the body of a devotee as material. It is considered to be transcendental, full of spiritual bliss, also from the Antili Lila. And then he says, Dikshikala bhakta kare atma samarpana sei kale krishna tare kare atma shama. At the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders into the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. Mm. So therefore, any Vaishnava is to be treated with the utmost respect. And we must understand that it is not a consideration whether he has any anarthas left, or whether he has any false egos, or any impurity. He remains worshipable. And if we are simply in this mood and see the worshipable qualities, then we are safe. Then we are actually understanding the principles of sadachar. The principles of sadachar are simply that we are looking on the transcendental platform. The transcendental platform is a platform free from envy. So the transcendental platform is a platform where we are looking at Krishna, and we're looking at what is the need of Krishna and what is the benefit of Krishna. So if anything does anything for Krishna, then we appreciate. And if anything does a little more than that, we appreciate even more. So according to how much someone is doing for Krishna, we appreciate. And even if there are some impurities there, we are ready to overlook. Because we realize that they cannot remain very long. The potency of devotional service will very quickly rectify such impurities. So that should be actually the right mood in Vaishnava association, in Sadachara. Furthermore, we're seeing though that a devotee of himself thinks that he's never a Vaishnava. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing like follows. He says, if I think I am a Vaishnava, I shall look forward to receiving respect from others. And if the desire for fame and reputation pollutes my heart, certainly I shall go to hell. By giving the others the remnants of my food, I shall consider myself superior and shall be burdened with the weight of false pride. Therefore, always remaining your surrendered disciple, I shall not accept worship from anyone else. That is from the Kalyana Kalpataru, also quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the purport. So we see how Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very, very careful. And then if you see Krishnadas Kaviraj, he of course is very humble and many times has spoken out very nicely in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in one chapter he says, I'm infected by the germ of material activity and I'm suffering from the boils of envy. Therefore, falling in an ocean of humility, I take shelter of the great physician, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So again, such humility. He's also saying, I am lower than a worm in stool, and anybody who sees me loses all his pious activities. Okay? Still, somehow or other, amazing enough, I've received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then at the end of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he discloses one secret, and he says that actually the reason why I'm writing this Chaitanya Charitamrita is because of a secret. He says, actually I cannot disclose this secret, yeah? But if I do not disclose it, then I'm not giving credit to my Lord. So therefore, I'm duty bound to disclose it, although don't think that I'm too proud. And then he's saying that actually Madan Mohan spoke to him and told him to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But he didn't want to say that earlier because he didn't want people to think that he's going around saying, Madan Mohan told me the other day. Oh, Madan Mohan told you the other day. The deity spoke to him. Right? And then all his glories would just spread all over the world. And so he didn't want it. So he kept it as a secret. But in the end, he disclosed it because he just wanted everyone to know that the Supreme Lord actually spoke. Yeah. So in this way, Krishna's Kaviraj in different ways displayed his humility. So this is our main mood in devotional service, and if we act like that, then we are acting very nicely. Still, humility is complex, right? Humility is complex because if you go around eternally saying, I am the most fallen, I have no qualifications, Prabhu, therefore I cannot do anything, you are not acting in the proper fashion. Because, again, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains what real humility is all about. He explains that the gift that my spiritual master gave me is a transcendental desire tree. And this transcendental desire tree is fully able to deliver the fruits of love of God directly from the spiritual world. But after I received this tree, with my harsh mind, I covered its potency. Although my harsh mind is very stubborn and very, very strong, still, it is not so powerful that it could cover the entire potency of this tree. Therefore, some of the strength of the tree still remained manifest. And therefore, in spite of the fact that I have a contaminated mind, that I have a stubborn material nature, in spite of all that, still some potency of that tree came through, and therefore, still, I have something to offer. I still have something to offer, although I have no qualification. So this actually explains the position of the Vaishnava, who has received the mercy of the Sampradaya, and therefore has something to offer, therefore has something to say, therefore he must preach, he must speak, although with his own impurities he may cover the potency of the pure message. That may be or may not be according to his level of purity, but nonetheless, no one can cover the full potency of the transcendental instructions whenever they are repeated, even if they are repeated from an impure mouth. Still, the potency of the holy name cannot be covered in any way. It remains potent under all conditions. We see many references to Namabhas in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We know that Sanatana Goswami is even describing the example of the words halam riktam, and how the syllables are separated, but it still counts as hari. Right? Still the benefit is there of hari. And then there is the example from the Puranic history about the Muslim who was calling out Har Rama, Har Rama, Har Rama after he had been pierced by the tusks of a boar. And Har Rama was Arabic for what misfortune, what misfortune, what misfortune has come upon me. Har Rama, Har Rama, Har Rama. And in this way he was also getting the benefit of chanting. And he actually returned to the spiritual world. Yes. So the potency of the holy name is very, very great. So the potency of the transcendental instructions of the Supreme Lord are also very great. And the potency of the Sampradaya is very, very great. Therefore, even we can have something to say. So therefore, a Vaishnava, although he's utterly, his mood is one of cultivating humility and taking the humble platform, at the same time, he must also accept the gift that he has received, and he must also accept the duty of distributing that gift according to his position. And therefore, in this movement, we are interacting with each other according to a particular position of seniority or juniority. So one's position is determined by different factors. In one aspect, it is determined by one's the amount of time. That is the external position, but also it counts, because after all, one has the experience. So experience is to be always considered in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, by the principle of Vaishnava etiquette, one must give preference to a senior person. We saw that we saw that Vidura approached Uddhava and wanted him to initiate him. However, Uddhava did not accept, right? Rather, sent him on to Maitreya. Because it is mentioned there was Maryada Vyatikrama, or the overstepping of the etiquette, that one should not accept a person when there's a more suitable person present. And in this case, Maitreya was more suitable because Vidura was elderly, and therefore it would be more appropriate for him to accept initiation from an elderly person in this case. So many considerations of etiquette are there. So one should never overstep this principle in dealing with an older devotee, that one must give preference to that person. That is the actual standard. Preference in different regards. So we may externally follow, but more important than externally is to do this in the spirit of actually internally also, giving the respect to the person. It's easy to all line up everyone in pecking order during a darshan. That is kind of easy. That's more easy than to really try and offer respect to someone from the heart. And in a spirit of respect, one considers himself in dealing with a superior on the receiving end. Yeah. One is in the mood towards the superior, he tries to receive mercy. Whereas in an equal, one has exchanges, and to a junior, one gives mercy. So these are principles. Of course, we see that not necessarily so. A person is in a superior position simply by years. Sometimes a person gains seniority by taking responsibility in devotional service to Krishna. Or by taking responsibility in sense of ashram. Right? That can also be. So such a person will also be offered special respect. Like we saw that even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was desiring that Rupa and Sanatan would soon join him, and Sanatan Goswami was still tied up in the government, but then stayed home and was listening to the commentary on the Bhagavatam of these 25 brahmanas. And then the Nawab Hussein Shah personally came to speak with him already after his doctor had been there. And he personally came to speak with him. And said all the brahmanas, they stood up and gave due respect to the Nawab, although he was a meat eater. But because he had the position of the authority, still they offered respect to him. So this maryada is very important. The external positions in the Vedic culture are very much kept. We see also how Paramananda Puri was he was of the same generation as the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he had the habit of criticizing the Vaishnavas. And he used to do it in such a way that he used to first get someone to come and take prasadam, and then he would stuff them. He would just give them so much prasadam, and he said, no, you take some more. No, I can't take one more. And then after you've eaten so much, then he would say something like, I can see. Just punch Bhakti Rick. A little harder. punch or pinch. Someone told me there's a technique with a rubber band, that you put a rubber band on your arm, right? And every time you do it again, you just pull it and you let it, ding, you let it go, right? And if you do this for a while, they say it's that the mind gets psychologically conditioned. You could try it out. a trick, I just heard about it. Anyhow, so we see how Paramananda Puri used to criticize the Vaishnavas like that. He used to indulge and try to get them to eat a lot and then just criticize them. So in this way, he criticized also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept on respecting him. He kept on still treating him very respectfully all along. Of course, everyone was very unhappy, and ultimately it didn't fare too well for Paramananda Puri. That's another part of the story. But still, externally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never gave up the principles of offering respect, of offering due respect. We also see descriptions of the Pandavas and the meeting with Lord Krishna. And we see how when Lord Krishna met the Pandavas, that Arjuna was his equal and his friend, and therefore that he embraced Arjuna, when he met Arjuna. But that Krishna was junior to Yudhisthira and Bhima, and therefore that he offered his obeisances to them. Whereas Nakula and Sahadev, they were junior to Krishna, so they came and offered obeisances to Krishna. So these kind of examples we find in the scriptures. So we may also be benefited by that. If we somehow or other can take shelter of this attitude, then we can very quickly overcome false ego. Then we can very, very quickly become very, very pure. So one should never... The external principles of one's position are considered, that when there is a person who is in a senior position, then generally speaking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offering him full respect. The only time that we saw that he did not offer full respect was when one god brother of his spiritual master, Brahmananda Bharati, right, came, and Brahmananda Bharati had dressed himself. He was a sannyasi, but he had dressed himself in a deerskin, and he was walking around in a deerskin like that. So Brahmananda Bharati, it was announced that he came, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy. Oh, Brahmananda Bharati has come. He is as good as my spiritual master. I am very happy to meet Brahmananda Bharati. Let me please meet Brahmananda Bharati. And they said, oh, we'll ask him to come and meet you. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I'll go and meet him. Because after all, he was the senior. But then when he came and he saw Brahmananda Bharati in the deer skin, then he said very loud, where is Brahmananda Bharati? I thought he was here. I don't see him anywhere. Where is Brahmananda Bharati? I heard he had come, but I don't see Brahmananda Bharati anywhere. Okay? And he said like this. So at that point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ignored him. So this is the exception. This is the exception that is there in the etiquette, that we must respect a senior. Right? Anybody who's senior to us in this movement, we must respect, and we must be conscious to follow that mood, that we are at least taking the position that we are on the receiving end of the mercy. But if that person is somehow or other deviated from Krishna consciousness, then we need no longer, then we may remain respectful, but we may no longer remain in the same mood of being on the receiving end. In this regard, there is also a book written by Narahari Sharkar, the person who we are every night worshipping when we are singing Kiba Narahari Adi Kari Chamaradulaya. Alright, that Narahari, who is waving the chamara at Lord Chaitanya, who is Basiyache Ratna Simnasane, who is sitting on a bejeweled singhasan, a seat that is all bedecked with jewels, a throne, while Narahari is waving the chamara. So that Narahari, he wrote that book called Krishna Bhajanamrita, in which we find some interesting points on Vaishnava etiquette. We are finding that in there a description how one should always offer due respect to the advanced Vaishnavas according to their position, and that not every Vaishnava should be treated equal, but that each Vaishnava should be treated differently according to his position of advancement and seniority. And that it is said, therefore, one should make an offering of all possible facility to the spiritual master. But to the Param Guru, right, to the Param Guru, or the spiritual master of the spiritual master, one should offer twice. One should offer double what one offers to the present guru. Right? So this principle remains there, that eternally these differences are there. And we are seeing that sometimes on a day that we are worshipping Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, on the day of his Vyasa Puja, for example, it is quite customary in many temples to place a big picture of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta on the Vyasa San of Srila Prabhupada, and to place Prabhupada on the smaller Vyasa San for that day, a small one next to him, yeah, which is appropriate. One must keep this in mind. Now, another point that is mentioned in the Krishna Bhajanamrita is what you do when, due to some reason or other, the spiritual master might deviate from proper spiritual life. The definition of deviation is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is that if the spiritual master headlong plunges into sinful activities and becomes addicted to sense gratification, addicted means it cannot be rectified, yes? Or if he philosophically becomes envious or inimical against the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, then what one should do, according to Narahari Sharkar, then one may overstep the regular etiquette, and one may go to the spiritual master and question him about his behavior. Why are you doing like this? And one may actually overstep the duty of being a disciple, and one may ask, why are you acting like this? How can you do this? This is wrong. Yeah? One may confront the spiritual master at that stage. Yes. And if he cannot be rectified, and if no one can rectify him, then of course he's to be rejected. So it is also written. So we see that in general, the worship of the senior Vaishnava is maintained, right, under all circumstances, and the worship of the regular senior Vaishnava is maintained. But if there is deviation, then one may give it up. But due to the influence of in the early history of 30 years of this movement in the Western world, so many things have transpired. And it has not always externally been a movement which immediately had the perfect form of sadachar, where everyone was accepting the proper behavior according to his position. We are all in different positions. Some are in the position of brahmachari, some are in the position of grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasis. We are, some are in the position of first initiates, some are in the position of new bhaktas, some are in the position of second, etc. So we all have these different guidelines for behavior. So we all should act according to these positions, but then, and that is all part of sadachar. So for each particular person, he takes shelter of an ashram, he receives certain levels of initiation, and all that brings with it a certain prescribed duty. But we saw that in spite of all these initiations and designations, that people were not really able to give shape to these positions, and that they were not able to accept the principles of sadachara. So we should each for ourselves contemplate what is our position. What is our position in terms of what is our ashram, in terms of what is our commitment to in terms of initiation? What are the consequences of the initiations we have taken? What are our vows in this regards? And we must give form to these vows in our daily life, very rigidly and strictly, very properly. And if we do so, if everyone gives that shape properly, then he is situated in the right basis of sadhachara, and then he can begin to interact according to that position with other devotees. And in that way, we will become a society wherein the Vaishnav etiquette will get more shape. So in the first 30 years of this movement, it was all experimental. We were just beginning to absorb the finer rules of Vaishnav etiquette, which are many. We were gradually learning. So many things did not take place as yet. And there are duties for the senior, and there are duties for the inferior. The senior should be merciful. Therefore, and he should conduct himself in a certain way. It is not so complex. In principle, if you are in a position of authority, your duty is to act like a parent, like a father, okay? Or a mother, depending on what you are. But that is your duty, to act like a parent. If you have any position of authority, you're supposed to act like a parent, and not the kind of parent that is all day long sitting on top of his kid and telling, don't touch this, don't touch that, and don't do this, don't do that, but to actually be a parent. Parent means in the sense of being affectionate. You should have affection, and you should try to give room for those who are your dependents to act as unrestricted as possible. It is unnatural for any living entity to accept so much restriction, so we should only restrict where it is necessary. Not that we restrict those who depend on us simply because we have a position of power. Right? Prabhu, can I have a bar of soap? Well, let us see. How many bars of soap have you already been using lately? You're using a lot of soap, aren't you? Do you know how expensive it is? You'll have to become a little more frugal, Prabhu. Okay? Are you using the little pieces as well, or are you just throwing those away? Anyway, like that. So you can really lord it over. Meanwhile, you know, you yourself, right, foam it up, you know, under the shower, have a good time, like that. So this tendency is there. As soon as you get in charge, to lord it over. And it's very tempting to become tight with the keys when you have them. Sorry, Prabhu, it's locked now. Could you please let me in for 5 minutes, you know, just one call? Well, Prabhu, the sign says, give me a break, but the people are never there at that time. Let me ring now. Well, there's a pay phone down the hallway, but you need a card. Very tempting to become tight with the keys when you have them. Sorry, Prabhu, it's locked now. Could you please let me in for 5 minutes, you know, just one call? Well, Prabhu, the sign says, give me a break, but the people are never there at that time. Let me ring now. Well, there's a pay phone down the hallway. But you need a cart, and I don't have a cart. Well, what can I do? I don't sell carts, Prabhu. Anyway, like that, we can become cold. So, leaders and authorities, they have a duty. They're not merely in charge. They have a duty to give shelter and to really try and accommodate people and to try and make them and to give mercy like that. And those who follow have to also try and be respectful and tolerant and take whatever comes as mercy, even if it's inappropriate, even if they're facing the locked door and see the whole trip with the keys. They're just supposed to take it humble and say, oh yes, okay, Krishna's mercy on me. Now I have an authority who keeps all the door locked. It must be my karma that I deserve these locked doors. Whatever, I must tolerate. And see that he must have a, anyway, respect. He must have a reason. He must have a good reason for doing so. So, not to find fault. But it is true that all of us, in the first 30 years of our history, have not sufficiently contemplated on the meaning of sadachar and what it means to be a sadhu in a particular position, and that we have not adopted the position that or the codes that are prescribed for the position where we're in, and therefore that we've just continued our relationships according to the codes that we had from before, from the material world. And he says, hey, you know. And the result is that is a lot of unrest and insecurity. Devotees don't feel secure. Leaders don't feel supported. Leaders don't quite know how to instill faith in devotees. There is no more faith. There's a gap of faith between the leading devotees and the following devotees, simply because we are not interacting properly. But if we would begin to interact closer according to these principles of sadachar, then our movement would function much nicer, more peaceful, and we could in that way exist together more harmonious and advanced in spiritual life. So this is valuable. I know I left a lot of things undefined because I just gave a general talk on sadachar. I didn't describe any details on what the prescribed duties are for the different positions. Maybe some other time, because it's getting late. So just maybe I'll leave it at this, and if there's any questions, I can try to answer.
Bhaktivinoda
Thakur was a Vaishnava who was heading up the preaching of Gaudiya Vaishnavism at his time. However, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not functioning within an international organization, right, at that time. So, as soon as you begin to start a mat or an organization, then it becomes unavoidable. Then you'll have to. Then there is a whole structure in which you cannot avoid. No? But Bhaktivinoda Thakur could avoid, because after all, he was in one sense independent. Yes, he had open relationships with different Vaishnavas, and some were coming to hear Bhagavatam from him and respecting him very, very much, but he had no obligations as such. But we are members in an institution, and the institution itself is of a different nature. The institution has a spiritual hierarchy and a managerial hierarchy, and the hierarchy is kept intact, right? So, because the hierarchy itself is part of the mechanism through which many, many people can become purified. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the inspiration for the principles of Krishna consciousness to be presented in a pure form. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta took this inspiration and began to start the mission in a very organized way, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur had kind of started, but then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta took it a long way from there. And then Srila Prabhupada took it and spread it all over the world. So now, all over the world, there is this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which has a particular structure. And that structure is required so that many new people can indeed advance. So in this day and age, we have to take the austerity within this particular structure right now to do accept worship. But nonetheless, we must also understand of
of how far to go. Right? Although it is said that a disciple, that there is no limit in the worship a disciple may offer to his spiritual master, there certainly is a limit into how much worship the spiritual master should accept from his disciples. Right? That he should consider. Right? So, and therefore the disciple should also understand the mood of the spiritual master and worship him accordingly, according to his mood. It is just as we saw that Jagadananda Pandit was causing a disturbance to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by bringing this scented oil and by offering him a big mattress, which was really going against the principles of sannyas. So, if your spiritual master is also a sannyasi, then it is also good that you don't offer him perfume and these kind of things, because sannyasis are not supposed to, you know, spray themselves with perfume. Or there are other things, other codes. So, to be a good servant of the spiritual master means that one should serve the spiritual master according to his position, his needs. Yes? And that one worships the spiritual master also according to his needs. Anyway, the spiritual master will personally further advise his disciple how to worship, and that is the ultimate. I cannot prescribe how a disciple should worship his spiritual master, because it's between him and the disciple. But in general, we could give a guideline and say that a disciple should worship the spiritual master according to befitting to his position of ashram, befitting to his position in the society. So whereas many of our spiritual masters are sannyasis, it is natural that it will be advantageous for the disciples to support their spiritual master in his mood of sannyas, and to maintain the worship in that spirit, right? And therefore, it is better to offer nice bedding for the spiritual master, but not necessarily a huge kasipu, right? Because, after all, when you're a sannyasi, it is better, if you remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example, right? You may accept a big bed in the spirit of Yukta Vairagya as an offering for some reason or other, but on the other hand, it is very safe if you follow the model of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because that was exemplary. So as much as we can follow, we cannot exactly follow. We're living in a different time, in a different place. See, in India, when I lived in Vrindavan, many years I used to just sleep on a mat, right? No problem, just sleep on a mat, you know. What else do you need? It's Vrindavan. Yeah? Yeah, in the winter you need a little more, but most of the year you just sleep on a mat. But you couldn't do it here very long, because you get rheumatism and all kinds of symptoms. It's a different climate. So according to time, place and circumstances, we may accept the needful, but still it's recommended for a sannyasi to keep things simple for his own bodily maintenance. Yes. And a disciple should consider that in serving his sannyasi spiritual master. As an example, yeah, I'm not trying to set policies for the society or anything like that. I'm not trying to prescribe how any sannyasis should conduct themselves, because I'm the junior most sannyasi in ISKCON right now. So what is my position? My position is simply, but in general I'm speaking about the principles of sannyas. So let all the senior sannyasis decide for themselves how to deal with their disciples. I can dictate, but I can set some standards for general sannyas standards.
Yes. The Narahari you spoke about was also the spiritual master or shaman as a single person?
I can't remember. Shamananda, I thought Hridaya Chaitanya was the spiritual master. That is right. Because there was this whole incident with Hridaya Chaitanya, who was in a different ras.
Huh?
Yeah. Now, Gadara Pandit, he took from Pundarik Vijayaniri. Yeah. He took from Pundarik Vijayaniri. Yeah. I can't Somebody, yeah? Okay, we'll check it up for you. I can't remember who's the server. You went all over the list now. No, I forgot who's the disciple was. Yeah. I think I may have it, or he has it on his computer for sure. He has everything. We can look it up. Another speculation, yeah. I don't know. No, that is Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami. Yeah, I understand. You're saying Lokanath. So I'm saying another speculation. It may be, it may not be. I can't remember. I honestly can't. And I think Prabhu also is not 100% sure anymore, although you remember something, but it's maybe too long ago that we've read it. And I forgot that. And you have it on computer, but not in your memory. So, I think we should just check it up before we add more names to the confusion. Yes, well.
You said earlier that Vaishnava never thinks about himself as Vaishnava. He's so humble that he never thinks like this. Mm-hmm. But also we can hear from Srila Prabhupada that actually someone should be proud to be Vaishnava.
Yeah. Well, I gave that explanation from the desire tree. Remember that portion? How you receive the mercy of your spiritual master and how you then, with your harsh mind, cover that wonderful mercy a little bit, but still the mercy is so powerful that it remained potent to a large extent, and that therefore, although you have no qualification, you still have a great gift to give. So that is actually relating to that point. That although the Vaishnava sees that he has no qualification, still he's proud that he has received the mercy of the spiritual master, and that therefore he thinks, I have the greatest gift to give to the whole world, and somehow or other I must give it, yeah? Although I have no qualification.
He's proud that he can follow such.
Not that he can follow, that he got the mercy. No, I'm not follow. He's proud that somehow or other he's the one who got the mercy. I got it, you know, somehow or other I got it. This wonderful mercy. How amazing. How wonderful that I got it, you know. But he's not thinking how... Yeah, naturally he feels like very happy that he's received that mercy.
Someone has something, so sometimes he's maybe not eager, it is not good world, but... He always puts someone little down, now that I have something.
That's material. But a Vaishnava is not doing that because he understands that it's not mine. It's like not me. It is the gift of my spiritual master that is potent, and in fact it's right now not fully manifest because of my harsh mind and my bad qualities. Actually this gift is much more potent. Like we've received the gift of Prabhupada. The gift of Prabhupada can drown the whole world in love of God. But, you know, we're just going out there and trying to distribute a book, and with a lot of problem we can sell the book and squeeze a little money out of somebody. And thinking, poof, you know, it's so tough. Nobody wants to become Krishna conscious. Why? Because we received that gift of love of Prabhupada and then covered it over with our own impurities and bad qualities, and now only a little drop of the potency is manifesting. Yeah. So what is there to be proud of? Still we're proud that we're part of this wonderful process, this wonderful movement. Something to be proud of. Yes.
We offer the spiritual results of our service to the Lord. And what's the value of these material results?
We offer the results to the Lord.
Spiritual results from our service.
Yes.
We offer that to the Lord. And what's the value of these material results also from the service?
The material results of the service. Like what?
Like all the garden, we have material results.
What are the material results?
Vegetables.
They're spiritual. They're spiritual vegetables. They're not material. They're grown on Krishna's land by Krishna's devotee. How are they material? This is Radhadish Dham. Eh? This is Krishna's abode. Eh? He's manifest here. These are his gardens, his soil. You are his devotee, growing his cabbages. Right? And when you bring one of those cabbages, it's transcendental. It's like your puja. Therefore you treat that cabbage with love and devotion, right? And you would never treat it disrespectful because you know it's going to be offered to Krishna directly. You wouldn't spray any poison on it or do anything bad with it, would you? You would just treat it very nicely with lots of devotion, wouldn't you? So that it's all ready and pure to put on Krishna's plate, so that you won't make a sloppy offering, because after all it's for an offering to Krishna, wouldn't you? Yeah? So what's material about all that? Yeah? What is material? Everything is Krishna. So in that way, it's like when it's all utilized for Krishna, it's all utilized for spiritual purposes. Then it's spiritual. But yeah, if you don't offer them to Krishna, then they're material. Then it's all becoming material. So if the fruit of your labor is no longer offered to Krishna, then there is some material results also. Otherwise, it's all spiritual. Of course, you still offer them to Krishna to make him full, to get it fully prasadam, and to get the full spiritual potency of prasadam. But it's not ordinary what you grow in that garden. It's very special. And it's a million times better than those genetically manipulated karmic cabbages which they inject with pig genes, right? And which you can have for your for your lunch, and I wonder what happens to you if you eat long enough, you know, get a round nose and pointed ears, right? Yes.
In our society, preaching is very much and very often emphasized, and usually we understand by preaching giving further the knowledge which we receive from spiritual master, but shouldn't we consider actually all kinds of activities in Krishna consciousness which we perform as a preaching? Like, for example, if someone exhibits nice Vaishnava qualities, that should be also glorious and a nice example to follow, or if someone performs very nice service, that also kind of preaching.
Yeah. The movement as a whole is a preaching movement. Still, if we would just be here in the Ardennes, in this nice area, all behaving very nicely and very well, then, you know, lots of people may not become so much affected by us. So it is valuable that there are those who are actually going out to meet the conditioned souls and give out the mercy and go door to door, which was the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Lord Nityananda, which was passed on to us. So we have that order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on our head to go door to door and to spread this Krishna consciousness to every town and village, and Prabhupada repeated that many times. So we cannot forget that. But at the same time, to merely go door to door and knock on doors is, and to give out the books is very nice, but the more we ourselves assimilate the knowledge from the books and apply it in our own lives, the more potent we become. And that is actually what is required now. It is not merely good enough to just go out and distribute the books without assimilating them ourselves. And we have seen, because where are all the great book distributors of yonder, right? All the heroes, all the Sankirtan heroes, right, that we have seen in the past, where are they all today? They were great heroes, and they made lots of spiritual advancement, they got a lot of credit in their spiritual bank balance, but many of them are no longer so much involved in the book distribution nor in the practice of the contents of the books. So we must make sure that along with the book distribution, we ourselves begin to practice. We must practice what is in the books. So that means your achar, your behavior. So there's achar and prachar. So Haridas Thakur is known as the namachar, the example of perfect achar and perfect prachar, and that is our business, both achar and prachar. Yeah, so your point is well taken. And to develop Vaishnav qualities, etc., is an essential thing. We also see different models in our society. Let us say one example is Satyarup Maharaj, who is like kind of worked for many years on improving chanting, proving reading and proving Vaishnava behavior, but preaches through his writing. And then you have someone else, another model of a preacher is maybe Indrajumna Maharaj, who's traveling all over, you know, one moment he's on the Amazon, right, and it's a river full of piranhas, the next moment he's doing a Harinam in a former Muslim country with, you know, with 1,000 Muslims who don't know that they're chanting Hare Krishna, but they're doing it, right? How he gets them to chant, I don't know. But anyway, they're doing it, right? Hypnotizes them or something. His nickname is Adventure Swami. And that is also very nice. That is very nice, right? It's very nice. Both are preachers who are spreading Krishna consciousness, but in their own individual way. So I think that different devotees have different inclinations, and that each one for himself should wonder how much he is going to actually absorb the standards of Krishna consciousness in his own life, and at the same time, what he's going to do for the mission of Srila Prabhupada, right? And then find the balance between the two. And of course, if you make a special endeavor for the mission, that's where you can get the most mercy. So that should never be forgotten. Whatever you do, amidst of all your good behavior, right, you must make an attempt, special attempt, do something for the mission if you want special mercy. I mean, it's 5 to 9. Shall we stop now? I thank you very much. All glories to the Prabhupada.